5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hello and welcome to The On-Call Room,
a Grey's Anatomy podcast.
I'm Abby.
I'm Bree.
And it's a beautiful day to podcast. Welcome back to our strange interim where we are deep diving into some classic episodes of Grey's before jumping into season 19. How are you, Bree?
Oh, I am doing really well coming off the holiday break. So I am feeling, I was going to say refreshed, but I'm mostly exhausted because I was in the sun for 4 days drinking cocktails. So I'm mostly exhausted. But
you need a vacation day to come after your vacation.
Oh, you really do. But yeah, I'm mostly good. How are you doing?
I'm good. I had a really good burrito for breakfast / lunch.
Hell yeah.
So I'm feeling feeling really good about that. And Jake is currently making brats. So as soon as I'm done, I'm going to eat a brat. So based on the food I'm consuming, I'm having a great day.
Okay, good, good, good. If this is your first time listening, we are a Grey's Anatomy podcast. So usually what we do is we deep dive every single episode of Grey's. We recently finished season 18. And before jumping into season 19, because it had just aired on TV, we also did some reaction episodes of season 19. So head on back if you want to listen to those. But we decided we were going to take a little bit of a break and change things up a bit. So our last episode, we reacted to the pilot episode again. And then we feel like we got like kind of good feedback on that. So we decided to put a little poll in what we call Patreon. And our patrons decided which episode we are reacting on today. So today, season 1, episode 5, Shake Your Groove Thing. But I mentioned Patreon. And Abby, I don't know if you want to talk about it, but you can let the listeners know what that is.
Yeah. The short of it is it's a great way to support podcasters like us. It is not free to put out a podcast and have great editing. And so in order to support us, you can do so by going to patreon.com/theoncallroom. You can pledge to be an intern, a resident, or an attending to $5 or $10 a month. We give you some things with this. You get access to our private Facebook group. We get bonus episodes. We'll do monthly Zoom calls. You get mail around the holidays. That's a real favorite. And that's only $2 a month. And if you've never done this before, just remember that for $5 a month, you can get access to all of the bonus episodes that have happened. So you could listen to them all in one day if you wanted to, and then you could cancel it. Please don't, but you could do that. So highly recommend supporting us and all of your other podcasters. There's so many good ones out there. I think in the show notes, we have a link if you can't remember things that I say, just look in the show notes.
Well, and another really cool thing that we do to kind of play off what you were just saying about listening to those bonus episodes, later on, we started doing what's called post-op, and we haven't been doing them in these like kind of bonus episodes.
We should get back to that.
We should. But if you're a $10 patron, you get 5, 10, 15 minutes of bonus content after we call Time of Death. In order to hear those, you do have to go to Patreon, or you can put the RSS feed. We have pinned on our Patreon how to do that. You can put the RSS feed so you get the Patreon episode. But just so you know, you could go back and listen to a bunch of content. There's some like behind the paywall stuff that Abby and I talk about that you don't get if you...
Some are ridiculous.
Yeah, but regardless, even if you're not a patron, thanks for showing up and listening. That's a great way to support us too, is just, you know, like, follow us, review us, five scalpels. Those are all really great ways. If you can't financially support us, those are really cool ways to get the podcast out there.
Get it out there, but not too out there. I don't want to become famous.
Yeah, I saw that Patagonia met the VP.
Oh, I know. That happened last week. Patagonia is an incredible drag queen and our friend. And they were invited to the vice president's pride party. And I was alerted to this by last week getting a text from Wynn that had a photo of him and Cody and Maddie, two of my favorite Peloton instructors, just a casual photo of the three of them together. And I was like, wow, what's it like to have a famous friend? I don't know. You guys can ask me. I don't know what it's like, but I'm so proud of them. So
yeah,
they were on the pod before Patty existed.
Yeah, they talked about Cats with me.
And musical.
Yeah, and just really proud to see that. Really, really cool. Why am I saying this? What was the point of this?
I don't know. Pride? That wasn't the point, but...
No,
but
it wasn't. But, oh, you said you don't want to be famous. And I...
Yes, I don't want to be famous like my friend. No.
Yes, that was
anywhere he goes now, recognized. So
yeah.
I think... I'm good.
I think I'm good.
I would like to get sponsors, but we're working on that.
Yeah.
But for now, thank you for supporting us. Okay, so I turned my air off this morning because it was freezing in my house. And then...
You turned the air off on the 90 degree day?
Well, my house stays cold for a while. Like, I turned it off and it was still only at 75 just now.
Okay. It's funny you say you turned your air off because John... showed up.
Turned it on?
Yeah. And we haven't had it on all summer. And
you guys are crazy.
I know. And last night we brought a fan downstairs and we're blowing it on us. Like, why wouldn't we just... I just don't even say anything about it anymore. Because at night, like, I can manage. Like, it's cool enough in our bedroom. But he walked in this morning. He was already ready for work. I had about, I think, 7 minutes left until my alarm went off. And he opened the door and he said, good morning. He brought me a cup of coffee. He said,
what a joy.
He said, this is the last cup of coffee. We ran out of coffee. He gave it to me. And then he said, and I have some good news. I did it. I turned the air on. And I was like, oh my God. He was like, it's supposed to be 90 degrees today. It's time. And I came home in between some work stuff and I had lunch at home and it was so nice to come home to an air conditioned house. So.
Oh my God. I was outside for a minute and it was like melty hot.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think the temperature is going to go down in the next few days and you can guarantee that John will turn that air off and open the windows back up. At least for a day we have the air conditioning on.
Well, if you want to wear a turtleneck, you can come over to my house because it's so cold here. I can't even get into it. I would like go out. I had my coffee outside this morning so I could like thaw because I woke up so cold.
I love that feeling of like being in a really cold home and then going outside and being like, ooh, it's so warm out here.
Feels so good. I can't wait to sleep tonight. Also, I didn't sleep good last night, nor did my dog. That video I sent you was kind of nuts, right? Of the fireworks?
Oh, yeah. It was wild.
It sounded like a war-torn country.
It was tough. I don't know. It's tough to talk about fireworks because with all of the climate things going on and we've had like in Michigan, we've been dealing with the smoke from forest fires in Canada. Yeah. And so it's been really tough and then everything being so dry. And so like, I don't want to get feedback about this, but there is something about a fireworks show that is so magical. But then when you're sitting at home, not involved in it, and it's your neighbors, you're like, can you stop, please?
I'm a big fan. Jake and I solved it last night. We solved the problem because I love going to a big show. I went to one on Saturday, like a classic in this small town. 10-minute show, big fireworks, everyone all watches them, and then everyone goes home. I love it. Makes me really nostalgic, especially hearing, like, the first early ones in Grand Haven especially. Like, you're like, ooh, it's going to start. Anyways, but what we think about ones, because it's legal now in Michigan, it's legal from June 29th to July 4th, which is bonkers to me. But what I think they should do, but they would, I don't know how they would enforce it. Like, Jake and I are like, let's give an hour, like 8 to 9 o'clock. Go crazy. Do whatever you want. But then just stop. The problem is they went until like 3:30 in the morning last night. Like, why aren't we sleeping?
Yeah. And I think like it's like pockets of neighborhoods, because where I used to live in an apartment on my own, they would go till like 3 a.m. Where John and I are now, like, it stopped probably around midnight, which is still late. But it, like, anything after midnight, John is like, I'm very annoyed. But it did really die down by even like 11:30. It was like, okay, people have got it out of their systems. But I feel like in your neighborhood, people are very passionate about the fireworks situation.
Oh, so passionate. We drove around. We walked McCoy because he could already hear them and he was freaking out. And sometimes the only way to get him out of that is to literally get him into his body. Very much like us humans. And so we took him on a walk and it was just bonkers how loud it was. Like there wasn't more than 5 seconds without one. Like it was just constant. And we took him for a walk and then we got in the car and put on loud music and drove around. He's like, well, we might as well drive around and look at him, like if people are shooting them. And it just got a little, like people were shooting them off in the road and then we would be trying to go down a road and I'd be like, oh my God, there's a firework lit, right? Don't drive. And it turned out to be kind of dangerous. So then we came home, but it was just a lot. I was like, maybe let's rent a cabin in the middle of nowhere on the 4th next year.
Yeah, I have two questions. Well, one question, and then I have a follow-up story about fireworks. My question is, did the walk help or was it just as anxiety producing because he was outside hearing the noises?
He was less anxious when he was walking, because when we were trying to watch TV, he was like crawling all over us and shaking. Aww. And when he was walking, he wasn't shaking. He was panting a little, but like he peed and pooped and like did his business. I really think like it's like a human, how like sometimes when you're stressed, you have to like move, mm-hmm. you know, like and like, so it does help. It's not like I can give him any more drugs too. This dog is on the always on a normal day. He's on the anxiety meds. So just like his mom. So
do cats get anxious? I mean, my cat's deaf, so she couldn't hear.
I know, I'm so jealous.
She couldn't hear anyway. But like, I've never like noticed her before when she wasn't deaf, like being
cats anxious. Are too smart.
Yeah. I think they're like, yeah, that's fireworks. We're fine. So John and I were watching TV and then like, oh, we could hear them going off around us everywhere. And I had asked, I was like, oh, when was Grand Rapids fireworks? He said Saturday. I said, when are EGRs, which is like the town over? And
oh, do they do those over the lake?
Yeah, they do. And from what I've remembered, they're usually on the 4th of July. Like Grand Rapids usually does Saturday of whatever the holiday weekend is. And then they usually do the actual day. And we have this, Abby knows, but John has an office upstairs and then there is like a door out to like a balcony, which used to have, it was like a deck with railings, but the roof, we had to get a new roof on underneath it. So they had to tear the deck off. And in order to put a new deck on after we got a new roof, it was like an insane amount of money. And we were like, okay, we'll do that at some point, but like, that is not, we have a beautiful backyard. We have a front porch. Yeah. We're like, this is not the money we need to be spending on the house right now, is on this random balcony. So, but it is a flat roof. So you can go out there. There's a door to it, but there's just no railing. Like it can support your weight, whatever. It's fine.
Yes.
So John had to go to the bathroom and he calls me and he's like, Bree, come here. And I come upstairs and he's out on that deck and we can see, because you're up on the roof, you can see fire. We could see fireworks all around us. We could see to the left, like neighbors, to the right, other neighbors somewhere. And then we could see EGR's fireworks like over the lake, which was really, magic. Really cool. And so he's like, come out here. So I open the screen and I am like by the door. And this is not a small balcony, right? Like it's pretty
it's decent size.
Yeah, it's like pretty far out. Like if I'm by the door, I'm not like close to the edge at all. And I couldn't stay out there. I felt dizzy. And I was like, I'm going to somehow just fall off this balcony, which there's literally no way unless John picked me up and threw me off the balcony. Even if
I might do it.
Even if I fell though, like I wouldn't fall off. I'd just fall on the like onto the patio thing up there. So I like came it back inside and I closed the screen door and I was like watching it through the screen, but it's not as good because I'm like looking through a screen. And then finally he's like, what are you doing? And I was like, I didn't realize how nervous I was to be up high. And so he opened the door and he took me out and he held my hand the whole time. And he said, I won't let you. You two are disgusting. He was like, I won't let anything happen to you. And I felt better just standing. We were like by the door and he just held my hand as we watched the fireworks. So that was very sweet of him.
Oh my God. This after your anniversary episode, I just cannot. Just kidding. You're beautiful and I love you both.
But what if I would have fallen? How scary would that have been?
I'm glad he held on to you. I think if you had fallen and he was holding your hand, he might accidentally let go just because, like, hard to do. But I like that he was trying. I feel like I never get to tell sweet stories about Jake. And, like, I just want you all to know I had a breakdown this weekend over some patio filtering problems. Mm-hmm. And Jake dug a trench for me, mm-hmm. which was really hard work. And he told me he would take care of it and to go inside and don't watch him. Because he didn't want me to nitpick it. But either way, he took care of it. And I am pleased. So well, Jake yeah. is nice too, everyone.
He is. He does such... Well, he's making you dinner right now. Like they... Jake does so many very sweet things for you. So it's not just John. Jake is...
I wish he'd hold my hand and look at the fireworks with me, though.
Jake is the sweetest boy. But think about it. I mean, Jake got in the car and drove around last night with you.
That's like, true. He did make me listen to country music, but it was okay because it's summer. It's a little bit better if it's in the summer. It's like the only time I can do it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, okay. Speaking of like emotions, I'm kind of segueing, should you say, into the episode a little bit. And I know we're going to read the monologue and everything, but I felt a little emotional in this one.
I agree. So we had the choice. I want people to know, like, and if you like this, like, maybe, like, comment on the Patreon post or message in the Facebook group, like, patrons. But we gave two options. It was either this episode or the season finale of season one. Some listeners chose a completely different episode. That's not the assignment, people. It's the two that we give you. But this one won out. And so if you like this, let us know and maybe we'll do some in season two, just some of our like favorites. Cause this is, it honestly is really fun to like go back and remember like what these things felt like. I will say, it is kind of hard, even though I've watched this show a million times, to pop into a single episode and try and remember like, oh, did this happen yet? Did this, like, are Burke and Christina together? Like, you know, so.
Yeah, I was trying to look at it as just like, what was I observing? Because, yeah, I seem to like couldn't remember the order of some things.
Yeah.
But I can't wait to talk about it. I have some fun observations. Should we just jump into it?
Yeah. So this is season one, episode five, Shake Your Groove Thing. Do you want to do the monologue?
Sure. OK, so this is Meredith with a very hoarse voice. Actually, no, the monologue, she wasn't hoarse, just the whole other episode. OK. Remember when you were a kid and your biggest worry was, like, if you'd get a bike for your birthday or if you'd get to eat cookies for breakfast? Being an adult, totally overrated. I mean, seriously, don't be fooled by all the hot shoes and the great sex and the no parents anywhere telling you what to do. Adulthood is responsibility. Responsibility, it really does suck. Really, really sucks. Adults have to be places and do things and earn a living and pay the rent. And if you're training to be a surgeon, holding a human heart in your hands, hello, talk about responsibility. Kind of makes bikes and cookies look really, really good, doesn't it? The scariest part about responsibility, when you screw up and let it slip right through your fingers. Responsibility, it really does suck. Unfortunately, you can't get past the age of braces and training bras. Responsibility doesn't go away. It can't be avoided. Either someone makes us face it or we suffer the consequences. And still, adulthood has its perks. I mean, the shoes, the sex, the no parents anywhere telling you what to do. That's pretty damn good. Meredith Grey.
And then we have a short shotgun woke up. patient one, we have Mrs. Patterson, angina, tear in ventricular wall, anorexia.
Stephanie Drake, hyperinflated lungs, foreign object in lung.
Jerry Frost, chronic back pain, drug addiction, spinal fusion, subdural bleed with midline shift.
And Warren Sturman, bowel obstruction. I was taken by this monologue right away because it also just like in like the context of it is so much young Meredith.
Uh-huh.
Like the Meredith at the in season 19 has three kids and like is so responsible. You know what I mean? Like, and here it's like, I just really related to this feeling of hers. Like, I feel like, I think in this show, they're like 34, 33. Uh-huh. Or maybe a little younger. Like they're around our current age. And I just fucking feel that. Like, just like, ugh. Like, I just want to be a kid. I feel like I feel like at this age, we're like shifting and it's hard.
I feel this way too about the monologue with a really important, serious career. So like, yes. This feeling of like her being a new surgeon too, a new intern, is like, it also means like you have patients' lives on the line. Like,
yes,
it's not just like, oh, like we're having great sex and having fun. It's like, oh, I'm doing a job that is literally life or death. And I'm not saying I have a job that's life or death, but like.
But it's important.
But it's important. And like, and I mean, I would even say like your work is really important. Like if you fucking, if you lose someone's wedding photos, like that's a really big fucking deal, you know?
Catch
like,
me moving to another state.
Yeah, exactly. So like being an adult in a career as well is like this adult thing. So, yes. That like you don't really feel when you're like a server at Spring Lake Country Club.
Right. And that transition too of like, I mean, Meredith is extreme. She's taking care of her mother.
Right.
Like she's literally having to mother her mother, which like you and I are really lucky to have both our parents like still around and healthy. And like, but there is a shift as you get older kind of that is like, I think the hardest part about getting older.
Like, yeah.
Is when you suddenly realize that like everyone is getting older, not just you. Cause it kind of when you're young feels like you're the only one getting older, but then you're like, oh shit, everyone aged. And so I feel like Meredith is getting that in like a massive dose.
I had this moment this weekend where I realized like, because I am the baby of my family and I spend a lot of time with my sisters, whom I love so much. And, you know, my one sister is 4 years older than me, but then my other sister is 6, and then my brother is 9 years older. And all of a sudden, it's like, you know, when you're growing up, you're like not really, like you're probably not as close to your sister who's 6 years older than you because there's such a difference. But when you enter adulthood, like you have more and more in common. And so like the age gap doesn't seem as big.
Yeah.
But then all of a sudden there are like, you know, My brother's like in his, my husband's in his 40s. And I start thinking like, holy shit. I remember like my mom and dad in their 40s.
Yes.
You know? Yes. And you're like, I'm there. Like, I'm not there yet. I'm in my, you know, like younger 30s, almost to mid 30s. But it starts to get really scary feeling of like, oh shit, we're the adults now.
Right. Like I think about how I can remember when my parents were like, or I was born when they were already much younger than I am now. And it's like, it feels like the last 30 years went by really fast. So like, holy shit, in a blink of an eye, I'm going to be that old too. Like, it's just really like, it's really bizarre, you guys. If I talk about it too much, I mean, this is why I go to therapy. Like literally, this is the crux.
Well, Jane Fonda talks about life in 3 acts.
Yes, and I love her so much.
And I think I texted Abby the other day and I was like, holy shit, we're in our second act. Like,
yeah.
I thought it was still in my first, but like I'm very much in my second, which is like there's also like something really beautiful about that and like what a privilege to be in my second act. But also it's like, God damn it, everything's going by really fast. And being an adult, there's so much responsibility that comes with it.
Yeah. And I just felt like Meredith being like, why, like, does it have to be today? Like, why, you know, just like everything with her mom and just like, and then she gets there and it doesn't work. And like, I just felt like she was like overwhelmed enough with her job that this on top of that was just like too much.
Yeah. And I think it's really hard. And I think it's important to point out that like Meredith is an only child and she also
at this
does
point.
Oh yeah.
I mean, she always is, but yes.
Right. But like dealing with this in this situation right now, dealing with a parent who is, you know, ill and then also her father or like her mother's ex-partner, like is not involved in the care. So everything falls on Meredith. Like sometimes that can be spread across siblings or another partner or like a cousin or something. But like, and also Ellis didn't want anyone to know about this. So there's not even like friends involved in this.
Yeah, it's very isolating.
Mm-hmm.
She says that line to Derek. Like, I think it was like, when did we become adults and how do we stop? Or like, And I felt that.
Yeah. Yeah.
What, her voice was so hoarse in this whole episode. It's even in the notes and trivia.
Yeah, I was going to say it is in the notes and trivia about, like, and I wonder if it just was.
Was that day? Yeah. It was so weird. I don't think it was like a choice. Like, they don't talk about her being sick.
But I imagine, like, they didn't film the whole episode in a day, I imagine. So
it wasn't as bad as it was in the beginning. Like, the first thing she says is, like, real bad.
And they don't, you're right, they don't acknowledge it at all.
No. It was super weird. Oh my gosh. There were just so many fun things about this. I really did feel a lot of it in relation to the episode when Simone brings her boyfriend to meet her friends, like in season 19. Like, it was kind of fun to think about that. I know we were all kind of like annoyed that it was so similar at when they're dancing on the table and stuff, but I don't know. I did. It sort of felt, I liked watching the original. I guess it made me realize, like, wow, this really does feel familiar. And just like, oh, there's just so many things. I could go on forever about different things, but I'm going to wait where you want to. What do you want to talk about first?
Well, first of all, about the party, I love that when they're trying to figure out who to invite, Christina says, jocks only, surgery, trauma, plastics. Then we find out that the peds are invited. Those are preschoolers. And then we find out shrinks are invited. And they were like, you invited the mental defects, which cracks me up because I would consider myself in the shrink like category. And then it was like, this party is DOA, dead on arrival, which I thought was so funny of like, if you are like ranking the different types of doctors into like high school categories, you know, like jocks and like defects. Yes. And
I it was Christina funny. Is just shooting it straight with that. The party's getting out of hand. I also love too, like when they lie to Alex in the beginning, like there's a party, like he just he's still not a part of the group, which is very interesting to watch. We don't know what happened between him getting yelled at by Chief and now, but we know that they're still not friends with him, but he is on Bailey's service, I feel like.
Yes.
Also, Bailey inviting herself to the party was my favorite thing.
Which is like, you don't want your boss inviting you or inviting themselves to your party. Like, because what do? You can't be like, no, you're not invited. But also you're right, like,
George is like, what was I supposed to say? But and I love that she shows up and she drinks bourbon, which is exactly what she does at every party at Meredith's house from here until the end.
Yeah, I had a note about that, that I love that that carries through all of the seasons, that bourbon is Bailey's drink of choice. She also has like a really fun blouse thing on at this party. And I also think it makes like more sense that she would want to come to this party. She doesn't have any kids at this point. Yeah. She is probably only a few years older than them. Like, other people are invited. Like, of course she wants to come party. Like, she's not like an attending.
I felt like I saw some vulnerability in it. You know what I mean? Like, she comes off as like bossy about it, but I feel like there's some, it's like the Bailey who cries to Derek about no one inviting her to the dance later. You know, like she wants to be included.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. I think it is, well, do we want to talk full party or do we want to go back to the beginning of the episode with the Nick and the heart or the glove and stuff? Because I can keep.
It doesn't matter to me.
Okay. Well, I love the end too, where Meredith is drunk and Derek shows up, just talking about who attends the party and like an attending comes, and the way she is dancing on that porch and the way he's looking at her, and like, in retrospect, like, maybe not great that she's super drunk and he's not, but the way he's looking at her, like, you fucking, look at you go.
It's so sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, it's in that time of a relationship when that doesn't annoy you, but rather you're, like, charmed by it, which is really cute.
Yeah.
And yeah, I don't think he was, like, taking advantage of her by, I mean, she's the one that says, take me for a ride, Derek.
I know,
which is
right.
Hilarious. Such a weird line. But yeah, I love that he shows up, because there's also that great exchange with them at the hospital when he like learns about the party. He's like, you weren't going to invite me. And she's like, no, like, I don't know. I just think he's very like amused by her.
Yes. Yeah. Also, this was the thing that we lost at Gray's trivia for Hank Izzy's boyfriend.
I know. I thought about that the whole fucking time.
And I think it's so, well, like, whatever. I don't feel like that should have been a part of the trivia because it's literally one episode. But God, Hank is really something. Did you see his pants? My God.
Oh, I didn't. I don't remember his pants.
They were not good.
It was so sad. I felt, well, okay. And I'm just, we're bouncing around because that's how we do these recaps now. I thought it was really interesting to see that, like, I mean, Izzy and Alex are not going to hook up, I don't think, for a while, right? I can't remember. But I liked, this is like the first time any Alex mentions anything about his past.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We get that, because with the drug addict, and we get that little bit where he like talks a bit about it, and you can see Izzy staring at him. And then I also think it's like one of the first times we see Evil Spawn do something nice. He makes Izzy go because of her boyfriend, and he offers to stay. Which, like, I just feel like that. I do believe it's Izzy that first sees the real Alex before anyone else.
I think you're right about that, and I think they kind of write that well. Also, mm-hmm. you know, that she is engaging with Alex probably kind of in a different way than the rest of the characters at this point.
It is really sweet that he's like, go to your hockey player. Like he's not even supposed to know about the party, but he does. And he, you know, and I don't know. I also think it's great that Izzy like kind of sticks to her things about like her job being important. And it's clear Hank would not have been a good hang.
Yeah. Yeah. Not at all. But love to see that he just shows up to this party and there are like 1,000 people there. Same with Meredith. And she's like, and George, the whole episode is very concerned if they have like confirmed with Meredith that it is okay. And everyone's like, yeah. Like, is he like, it's fine. And then there are so many people at this party. And Meredith just had a really bad day.
A tough day.
Yeah. And I imagine I'd come home and be like, fuck, get out of
my
house.
I'd want to cry.
Yeah. And I love that she kind of like, we have that great scene of Christina screaming like, baby, you're here. Like,
yeah,
we love to see her drunk like that. And then calls her over and, you know, Meredith is just like,
you can
fuck it.
You can see the moment Meredith is like, well, if it can't beat him, join him.
Yeah. Grabs the tequila just, bottle. Like, first time we kind of see the tequila thing.
Yep. Yep. It's so good to see them all dancing. Also, it's so sad for George. He is so in love with Meredith right now. Yeah. Like, he's just so concerned about her. And, like, when Derek was talking to her, I forget what he says, but he's right there. And Derek kind of looks at him like, Derek is not threatened by George.
No, not at all. The scene where they call that same scene where Christina calls them over and Mayor then calls, they call George over and they like dance around him. The way yes. Christina is dancing is everything. Like, she is dancing so hard up against him. It's so funny. And then later on, they're playing poker when Hank comes in and she ends up saying royal flush, get naked, baby boy. And that is one of one of the best lines in the episode. So
That party looked so fun.
Yeah,
except I wouldn't want it at my house.
I would. A few years ago, I probably would. I think it would be fun to do that. I love to, at the end of the party, like the next morning, Izzy shows up. And like Mare and George are not well. And yes. Izzy is drinking that old beer like from the night before.
Yes. Oh, that scene is so good. And George is like, that's not mine.
Yeah.
And like, I also love that they jump right into like, Izzy starts giving ideas, you know, as to why, like they just jump right into medical things kind of too. Cause Meredith has that meeting about the heart woman.
Yep.
And Izzy's the one that kind of makes, she starts like asking questions. Like, I just love, yeah, that her sitting down and grabbing the old beer is a joy.
It like gives the, like those feelings that we loved about early Grays of like, I think what they're trying to bring back now with the feelings of having roommates, like not being married yes. with kids or whatever, but like living with people who are at your yes. job and like, oh, you can come and go as you please. And someone might be on the couch hungover and like, we'll just show up and sit down. Like, I have lived in a house like that with friends, you know,
yes.
with
friends. Well, it made me think of like, or you come over to the morning after, you know, and that's like sometimes yes. even being hungover is the worst, but reuniting and debriefing is like always the best part.
Yeah. And so God, that's,
we haven't done that in so long.
I know. It's because like we're both so busy and it gets, it seems scary to do that.
Yeah, like to, being hungover seems very terrifying. Like it's like we're all too afraid.
Yeah. So I feel like that was kind of, oh, well, the other big thing that happens at the party is Bailey sees Meredith and Derek yes. having, well, they, I think, had sex in the car and they were like, we should move.
Do you think they had sex or do you think she was just making out without a top on? Because her pants were on.
Oh, were they? So probably not.
I think
then.
So.
Maybe they were just making out. Whatever. There was something going on clearly in that car.
Take me for a ride, Derek.
Oh, and then Bailey, which is not great when your boss sees you with their boss
no.
in a car. Not good.
Doesn't that happen again? Don't they like redo that in a later season or something?
I think it's with it's with Owen and Teddy, remember? And Bailey.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. Bailey's always the one. She's always mm-hmm. got to walk in. When is anyone going to walk in on Bailey? That's what I want to know. Well, her, no, they wouldn't because her and Ben are just always in their silk satin sheeted bed.
Well, but that kind of happened when she was dating the nurse.
Oh, yeah. Oh, the nurse. He was hot.
Yeah. I can't remember his name. I'm sorry. Eli. Eli.
There you go. You got this. Let's talk about the like in all in one, I think, like Meredith making the mistake. And then also the Burke thing, because they're mm-hmm. happening at the same time where, you know, Meredith pops a glove, her nail goes through, and then there's some complications with the heart. And she worries that she should have said something that, but she kind of fell asleep, right? When she was sitting there or like dozed
yeah,
off or
she
something.
Like, yeah, she like dozes off. And I think it's because like, I feel like maybe shit is going on with her mom. And then also
yes,
she's just
agreed.
Not sleeping well. Yeah. So. Yeah, keep
and
going.
Then in another storyline, there's a woman who's been having pain for 5 years and no one believes her. When they go in to do the surgery, they find a towel and we find out that, which I felt so sad for that old lady. We found out that Burke was the surgeon that did that. And it all comes full circle later because Burke, when Meredith blurts out that what happened to her glove in front of the husband, Burke gets super upset at her for like A, doing it in front of the husband and because now it's a liability, and B, for not saying it, like for
right.
like, why didn't you speak up?
Right.
And it's so frustrating because as a viewer in that moment, you also know that he has made a mistake that he does not know about yet. It's really interesting that Christina is the one that has to see that. I thought she wasn't going to show it to Bailey at first,
mm-hmm.
but she does.
Mm-hmm. Well,
it's almost like the beginning feelings of when she hides stuff for him later. It felt like foreshadowing.
Well, yeah, I feel like, I mean, at this point, I don't think she is that committed to, I think it's more of a, like a feeling of like, oh shit, maybe this guy isn't like a god
yes.
in her eyes.
You
yes. know, it like humanizes him in a way.
Yeah, and I thought it was really, I hope I'm not skipping ahead too much, like when Meredith is in the meeting with
uh-huh.
Burke and Chief and the other lawyer people. I don't know who they are. I thought it was so great. Like just that whole writing and everything, how it happened and Burke's like speech about he brings up his own mistake
mm-hmm.
and just his way of supporting Meredith, even though he just fucking yelled at her about like, I think you have the quote written here. In
the,
your notes.
The even great doctors make mistakes and they have to have a chance to speak up without fear of retribution.
Yeah, I thought that was so brilliant. I forget how much I really did kind of love Burke in some ways. You know, mm-hmm. like there are times that he like really shines as a character. And I thought that was great. I really loved that scene.
Well, I really loved too afterwards how Bailey was like, he was always going to tell. It was just a matter like of when information is power. And so like,
yes, she says that to Christina.
Yeah. And so Burke uses this opportunity to really stand up for Meredith, which.
That's so bad for the lady with the towel.
Oh, I know. What an awful like.
It felt like that we were just talking about you and I not on the pod about like women's pain and
oh,
it being
yeah.
like ignored.
Yeah.
Like I felt like, oh, just another example of people ignoring women's pain.
Yeah. And saying that they're irrational and yeah.
Yeah. And she was just so sad when she's like, who would do that?
I know.
Like, I was, George was great with her. Great bedside manner.
Yeah. And then earlier in the episode, we had Burke giving Christina coffee. And she's like, kind of like, what is this? And he's like, it's just coffee. I love that when she takes it, he's looking and he looks back and sees that she takes it and he gives the sweetest smile. It's like, yes. Oh, hell yeah, she took it. Okay, good. And then at the end of the episode, she comes into the scrub room and says, thank you for the coffee. And I love the way that Bert kisses Christina.
The way he grabs her head.
Oh my gosh. It's so, I've like,
it's, I think, not real. No one does that.
Oh, it's such a classic. So good. Yeah, Grey scene of just like grabbing her in like a very sensual, sexy way.
Well, and it's like she, I feel like, starts it off by locking the door. Like, I feel like she gives permission for that to also happen by locking the door. You know, like,
yeah.
It's not like he just jumps her. Like, there's very much of a vibe from both of them that is like, oh, it's so good.
Well, and I also think her acknowledging too is like an invitation of like, thanks for the coffee. Like,
yes.
Yeah. Are there any like other like big moments in the episode? This is really random, like a very random note I have, but I feel like the blue scrubs change later on. Like these in this first season, these scrubs feel like scrubs. And then later on, like in like scrub world, you can buy like Grey's Anatomy scrubs because they're like more fitted. Like I feel like these scrubs are like scrubs, you know what I mean?
They give me like ER vibes, like the show, you know what I mean? Like they're baggier, and like, yeah, just less fashionable. I love it too. I also just think in general, this set is obviously so much less expensive than the ones they get later. And like we've talked about, it just looks like to me what actually like most hospitals look like, which isn't all that great sometimes. Like there are some great new ones that have been updated in years, but some are not.
I know. And I love that, like, you know, feeling of like being down in the basement where they sit and like being at vending machines and just like, yeah, it's like I recently had to be at the hospital and it was like ER area and it was like, I need something. And they're like, walked me over to a vending machine. Like, it's not pretty.
Like, it's, no, they're not nice yet. Like some are, and that's like very different, but I feel like the sets got super high techy. And I like this aesthetic. I think it's also because this is what we started with.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's just, it's familiar. And we are also like, we're millennials. We like the things from that era of our life. Do you know what I mean? Like, we don't want to move on. Oh, I just loved it. It was really fun watching this. I'm not going to do this, but it would be a fun to do a comparison of the two episodes, the one like in season 19 and this. Like, maybe there were more, things that they reflected in each other than we originally thought, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, maybe.
Oh, I loved the guy that, I love how happy Izzy was too when the guy like pooped. Like she didn't even care that her boyfriend broke up with her. She was like just so invested in her patients.
Well, yeah. And it clearly shows like this is what she's passionate about. And like, see you later, hockey player Hank. We don't need you.
Yes.
Do you want to do notes and trivia?
Sure. All right, this episode's title originated from the song Shake Your Groove Thing, originally sung by Peaches and Herb.
It scored 17.9 million viewers.
Fucking insane. That never happens anymore.
I know.
I can't get over it. Meredith is hoarse throughout the episode.
Goof. Richard mentions that Mrs. Drake underwent this surgery before in 99. But when Christina is looking at the paperwork from the original surgery, it says the surgery date was 10/18/2000.
We got a goof. Richard and Bailey, who are general surgeons, are performing a laparoscopic surgery on Mrs. Drake's lungs. This would normally have been done by a cardiothoracic surgeon as they specialize in organs within the thorax.
Very good. Okay, well, who would you give the Catherine Fox Award to in this episode?
I think I'm going to give it to Izzy.
Okay, why?
She breaks off ties with Hank. She plans a party that people do eventually have fun at. And she like just really finds joy in her patients and she gets to watch a brain surgery.
Mm-hmm. I really like that. I would also maybe give it to Burke because
he
gives coffee to Christina and they make out. And then also he uses the information. He makes a mistake, but he like defends Meredith. So I think both are good options.
Information is power.
Yeah.
I loved it. It was fun. Are we grading out of a 5 or 10 scale?
10 scale.
Okay. I mean, I'm going to give it an 8.5, maybe. Like, I loved it. I'd watch it again.
Yeah, I would feel good about 8.5. 8.5 to 9. 8.5 feels good. Maybe not a 9, but
If I'm basing it off of season 18 and 19, it's like a fucking 10. Like, yeah. it's we rated these so poorly when we first watched them.
Yeah, it was a very fun episode. Love the party. Love Meredith's horse voice. Yeah, it's great.
It was great. Okay, so we don't know where we'll be next week, but I would highly recommend if you are a patron checking there. Maybe we'll put a poll up again.
Yeah.
Also, feel free to write in the Facebook group if you're a patron. And if you are not either of those things, you can always message us on our Instagram at @theoncallroompod or send us an email at theoncallroom@gmail.com.
Yes. Wonderful. Thank you so much for listening. And we will see you next week.
Time of death is 1934.
Beep. Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.